rockin' America. This is how we rockin' America. This is how we rock, y'all. This is how we rockin' America. This is how we rockin' America. This is how we rockin' America. This is how we rock, y'all.
This is Inkstud, CITR 101.9 FM.
Word.
Word. Oh, that was some James Kolchelka music we were listening to.
Superstar.
Superstar! We're supposed to do a radio interview with him right now, and his line is busy.
Yeah.
James Kolchelka, superstar, where are you?
Who are you talking to, if not us?
Who is more important than me in this world? No one, I say. So I'm joined by Donald King.
Hello.
Friend
just
of Dawn. Everyone.
Just Dawn.
Just Dawn. And Colin Ufton.
Friend of no one.
Friend of... Every time you say something more sad, Colin, I'm going to throw candy at you.
Candy? Isn't that a reward?
Not the candy I'm throwing.
Oh.
It's one of those candies that attracts birds, and you'd be, like, attacked by birds going after the candy.
Yeah.
That made no sense, I know, but...
This is a last minute kind of
we're going to talk about
lag.
Throwing candy.
So we're going to talk about what we did want to mention since we're talking about comic books. Is that recently Jack Jackson passed away, died, and Jack Jackson was awesome.
Yes, we did a program on Jack Jackson in the previous incarnation of the show Onomatopoeia.
Yeah, a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago.
I'm gonna pee.
Yep.
No. It's just a sibling rivalry. Anyway, and at that time, I talked about, you know, what a huge fan I am of Jack Jackson. Of course, you know, I'm a history buff myself. And although Jack Jackson's work actually goes a long way back, He's actually considered one of the first, if not the first, underground cartoonist.
Yes, he put out God's Knows comic.
God Knows.
Yeah, God Knows comics.
God Knows comic.
In about 1964 or something like that.
About that.
Around there.
Pretty early.
Yeah, and he actually came out of the University of Texas. And
a lot of great underground cartoonists came out of Texas.
And so did Gilbert Shelton. And they actually, I think they might have moved to San Francisco together, like when they eventually moved. I think they moved, they knew each other anyway when they both moved to San Francisco in like the 67 or something like that.
Well, they started out in Texas, I think it was a university college paper.
Yeah, the Texas Ranger.
Texas Ranger, which seemed to be a training ground for a lot of underground cartoonists.
Yeah, even Chris Ware actually worked on there when he lived in Texas for a while.
Get out.
Yes.
Word. West Coast style.
But he passed away. We actually don't have any details about it. He apparently committed suicide.
There's a short blurb in the latest comics journal that Jack Jackson committed suicide outside of a cemetery in his hometown.
In Texas.
And apparently he was despondent because of the complications with diabetes and cancer.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes.
Oh, that's too bad.
So he may well have committed suicide out of despair or simply to save his family from bankruptcy.
Yeah. I think Jack Jackson, he was one of the first underground cartoonists, and he was actually probably the underground cartoonist that went on to bigger and better things, in my opinion. Like, he's the one underground cartoonist that didn't stick with the same characters he created in 1965. He didn't tell the same stories for the next 30 years. He didn't drug out. He didn't
Fat Freddy's cat.
Yeah, he didn't make it. And all his comics were, eventually he started concentrating on doing comics based on the history of Texas.
Yeah, well, this was what he's really remembered for. The underground stuff is interesting, but what he's really known for, remembered for, is a series of graphic novels he did on the history of Texas. Mm-hmm. Now, the story goes is that when Jack Jackson was growing up in the school system in Texas, there was actually something called Texas History Comics, which told the story of Texas.
Hey, James.
Oh, okay, wait a minute.
It's from Texas. Yeah. Keep talking.
Okay, we're going to keep talking. Yeah, okay. Go on.
And apparently it was very racist about, Indians and Mexicans and such. So Jack Jackson wanted to do comics about the history of Texas in a more updated, realistic way.
Yeah, and we'll probably go into it more a little bit on another show, but we would like to recommend anybody, if you want to read something by Jack Jackson, get Comanche Moon. It's available now. It's about the life of Quanah Parker, and it's awesome.
Okay, we got James Kochelka on the air. We got you there, James?
Yeah.
Hey.
Here I am.
Your phone was busy.
I'm sorry. The band is flying to New Orleans tomorrow, and I was working out some
scheduling
thing.
I know that feeling.
And I was so busy, I totally even forgot all about your
I feel so special right now. Well, you're joined on the air by Don King.
Hey, how you doing?
And Colin Upton.
Hello.
And this is CITR 101.9 FM. And James Kolchalka, the creator of, oh my god,
Tons.
Super Fuckers. Oh, I said a swear word on air.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's college radio.
You're supposed to bleep it.
Yeah.
We'll edit that for TV.
And we actually played a couple of tracks of yours to kill some time while I was trying to get through to you.
Oh, okay.
I actually found the new album. They got it last week after I was here.
Yeah, we thought that you probably had.
Yeah.
So the track I played was This Is How We Rock in America.
Yeah.
I had to play that because of the title. It just sounded like it was ready to rock.
I wrote that song for them to play, on the aircraft carriers while on their way to invade Iraq.
Yeah. Victory!
Actually, I was going to ask, since we're talking about the music stuff, what exactly do you play on the albums? I know you pretty much write the songs and sing, but what instruments do you play?
I don't really play any instrument.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I sing the song to the band, and then they figure out how to play it.
Oh, okay. Because I think I saw a picture of you with an accordion one time.
Oh, yeah. There's a funny story about that, which is that, you know how Spin Magazine, I think it's Spin, or maybe it's Rolling Stone, Rolling Stone does that thing where they say the hot, their hot issue. And
oh, yeah, what's the new hot thing, yeah.
Hot new whatever. And they were going to do hot instrument of the year. Was the accordion. so they contacted me because of that picture to, you know,
really?
To talk about the accordion. Unfortunately, I'm too honest, and I told them I don't play accordion. But I should have just.
Should have just went with it.
I didn't make it into the article.
Yeah.
But if I had just lied and said, yeah, I play accordion and it's awesome, I could have been in the Rolling Stone hot.
That's awesome.
Hot for the accordion.
I told my friend to contact my friend in the band Gogol Bordello.
Mm-hmm.
They have accordion.
I have seen videos by them and enjoy their music. It's a fun band. Aren't they like a group of like immigrants or something? That's the kind of the concept of it.
Eugene, who's the singer in Gogol Bordello, he used to play guitar in my band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And he was in Everything Is Illuminated?
Yes, he was.
Excellent movie.
Yeah, pretty good. He's good in it.
Yeah, he was great. The Ukrainian tourist advisor.
Yeah.
That's some good list. So, right now, I got sent copies of Super... from Top Shelf, as I guess.
We also call it Super Effers.
Effers?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's the easiest way to say it, right?
The Super Effers, influenced, I guess, primarily by Legion of Superheroes?
Sure.
Would that be the closest?
Yeah, that's the closest. I mean, they all live in a clubhouse together, like Legion of Superheroes.
Hmm.
It's more like...
Teen Titans or something.
They like to play video games and get high and try and spy on each other naked and
just like real life.
Yeah.
Is
like,
that
do, like, do they actually
college dorm situation?
Do they actually go out and ever fight villains or anything?
No, they occasionally fight each other.
Oh.
I've never shown them fighting a villain.
But wasn't one the one guy villain, the kind of gross guy who's stalking them?
Oh, yeah, but they didn't fight him.
No.
He was a villain, but no one fought him.
So did you, when you were a kid, did you get exposed to, like, superhero-type comics? Or I think I read somewhere that you like Casper comics or something like that.
Yeah, I read the old Marvel stuff in collection when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like it any more or less than I liked all the other kind of comics that I read, like Casper and Richie Rich, the Uncle Scrooge comics, Tintin, old newspaper stuff like Crazy Cat and Little Nemo. I liked it all pretty much equally the same.
How did you get exposed to some of the stuff like the Crazy Cat and Little Nemo stuff?
Well, my dad is really old. He was born in, like, 1917.
Oh, really?
So, and he worked in the newspaper business. He was a newspaper editor. So he was really into all the old newspaper strips. And when we had collections, all that stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's all. I think all of us, that's our favorite newspaper strips, is all stuff from probably the 20s and 30s.
I mean, he exposed me to Tintin pretty early, I think. Maybe one of the first American publications he got a bunch of review copies for the newspaper or something and then gave them to me.
Yeah, because I haven't heard of too many American cartoonists actually being influenced by Tintin because they weren't that available, I guess, down in the States. Is that true?
And in fact, he used to buy me, he bought me a few, at the Dartmouth bookstore, which is in Hanover, New Hampshire,
mm-hmm.
for the Dartmouth College. They were getting Tintin and Asterix in French before it was available in English.
Yeah.
And I bought a few, the French ones.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
And, I couldn't read them, but I could still basically figure out what the story was.
Yeah.
You know, mostly this guy's getting hit.
Yeah.
And Asterix.
Well, my parents bought me a Asterix album in French in the hopes that I would learn to speak the language in order to read it.
I'm doing an interview on the radio, Eli. You want to say hi? Tell them who you are.
Who's that?
His boy.
I need to be. You whispered it.
Okay.
Sadie. Who? You know who Sadie is from Mouse Guard, the comic Mouse Guard?
Oh, I haven't read it.
Oh, it's great. And I believe it's a smash hit. It's about these mice, and it's drawn in a sort of realistic
Bane, yeah.
Beatrix Potter type style. It's a great comic. Yeah. There's three issues out so far.
Now, young Eli, he's a up-and-coming comic artist from what I've heard.
Yes, he's drawn three comic books.
That's more than I have, I think.
The two are called Spider and Arg.
Arg?
Wasn't that an Alan Moore thing?
Yeah.
He's taking over Alan Moore. Don't want to get it confused. I think that's his big anthology of gay protest
stuff. And, of course, Eli is also one of the main characters in my comic strip. I do American Elf, which is my daily diary comic strip.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just every day I draw a little strip about something that I do that day, something I did that day. And, of course, Eli's in it a lot. Listeners can find that at AmericanElf.com.
Yeah, yeah, we got to get. Yeah, we definitely have to give that a plug. I was actually going to.
You know, and I think we mentioned my music, but we didn't mention the album title, did we?
No, the album is "Spread Your Evil Wings and Fly."
Yes, that comes out September 12th, which is a Tuesday, and all albums come out on Tuesdays.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Which is the only reason it's. I mean, I would actually prefer it came out on September 11th because it's a tribute. You're not a tribute. that's the wrong word.
Yeah. I can already see the firefighters showing up at your shows. Yeah. This is a tribute.
You know, we started recording the album like about 1 month after September 11th. It's definitely a reaction to it. It's dark comedy mostly. You know, it's about it's about standing up against terror. That song, "This Is How We Rock in America." That's about how we're going to bomb the hell out of everybody.
Yeah, they've already started.
How.
Yes, we pretty much are never going to stop.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little tongue-in-cheek. The song starts off, Pascal and Creston, they both hate Jason. And I know that Jason, he hates both of them. Now, those are the band members. And then it says, but we stand united together as one. We stand united, tight as a drum. So we all fight together, but we're united against the terrorist threat.
So the James Kochelka Superstar Band is a menace to be wary of taking down evil
foes.
Yes,
and then there's a part. You know, we stand together. You cannot destroy us because we are the ones who do all the destroying.
Since you mentioned your website, I was going to ask: do you still make mini comics at all, or do you just put them all on the website?
The mini comics that I do now, I help my son make mini comics.
Okay.
He turns 3 in just a few days.
Well, that's awesome.
And will he be joining you at SPX?
No, I'm going to SPX.
Oh, I thought you were on the list of,
I probably am.
Creators.
They put me on the list, it seems like, automatically.
For everything. You're coming, right? You're coming.
Wouldn't be the same.
I'm always on the list for conventions I don't attend at.
Well, at least I know ahead of time. Now I won't get sad. So humor is an important thing, but then also one thing that you've been doing is the dialogue around the Cute Manifesto, I guess.
Oh, yeah. The Cute Manifesto, that's all my comics, essays about my philosophy of life and art and everything.
One of those I find interesting is The Craft is the Enemy, which I know brought up some debate, and if you're sick of talking about it, then that's fine, but I think that's something interesting for us, because especially among, you know, the indie comic thing, where some people will pump out so much greatness, and then other people may sit on it and kind of wait for it and do something with it. Like, do you still see, like, the importance of that craft, just getting it out there, just doing it, instead of just, you know, getting picky with it?
I encounter people all the time that just are afraid they're not going to be good enough, so they don't draw anything.
Yeah, I'm kind of like that.
You're never going to be good enough if you don't draw anything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your biggest stumbling block right there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like, yeah, when I was reading that, I thought, like, I remember in the Comics Journal, that it ran in the letters page there for a while. There was the debate, and Jim Woodring actually got kind of snooty.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny. What do you see? He said he did whistle in the cornfield or something.
I think you said wish it into the cornfield, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
even
know what that means, but it sounded like an insult.
Yeah. Isn't that like the...
So I was pretty pissed off.
The Field of Dreams?
I mean, he's actually one of my favorite cartoonists. Uh-huh. And, you know, yeah. So I hope that he bears no grudge over our public argument.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, do you feel you're badly misunderstood with that?
I got the impression people misunderstood it, because I think I did. I know, I'm letting him talk. I'm just saying. I'm just
I have no idea if I was misunderstood or not. I think that people, even if they understood, probably just don't agree. Especially in comics where, you know, people, they value guys like, I don't know, that like... I can't even think of their crazy names, like Brune Hogarth or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Neil Adams or somebody.
Yeah, I can see barely any value in that stuff at all. It just seems like the most rote illustration. It's all craft and no art.
Oh, I agree with that, totally.
You know, and so...
It's like reading a textbook on anatomy instead of reading a book. You know?
Right.
The enjoyment is lost. So what are some other projects you're working on? Like the American Elf, like is that, how often is it, every day, like Monday to Friday?
Oh, yeah, every
Saturday
day.
To Sunday?
Every single day.
Or Sunday to Saturday, I guess?
Even yeah. When you're drunk?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's an interesting, we interviewed a couple weeks ago Victoria artist Gareth Godin, I always mispronounce his last name, who's doing a similar thing where he's doing a new comic every day, and he's going to do it for the rest of his life. Is that something you're intending to do, is to keep going with it until, like, your hand falls off or something?
Well, the plan was only, I think originally I only planned to maybe do it for a year and see how that went. And I didn't imagine that I would ever be doing it for more than 10 years, but I'm coming up close on that. I think I've been doing it like 8 years now, and I don't particularly see any reason to stop.
Now, does that get in the way of working on other pieces?
Maybe it slows me down the tiniest little bit, but I still put out at least one other book a year in addition to doing the diary comic, so it doesn't seem like it's slowed me down too much.
Well, how long, like, super... or is, effers. Also super effers, I guess. It sounds so silly. It's just...
How long is that going to keep going for?
I don't know. It's college radio. Listener discretion is advised. Super fuckers. we don't have the...
Yes, every time you say it like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. I just love it. Super fuckers.
You get worse and worse.
Super fuckers. Yeah. And here's what I think. Do you tend to continue with that series for a while?
Well, I'm working on issue 4 right now. But I've been it's kind of been taking me a long time because I've been working on, I did a children's book for Random House this year. It'll come out August of 2007.
Awesome.
So that took up a bunch of time in the spring, trying to get Pinky and Stinky made into a TV series. Trying to get Monkey vs. Robot made into a movie.
A movie?
Well, if we can.
Animated or
anything
CGI?
That they'll let us. We're a little further along with Pinky and Stinky. Pinky and Stinky has actually been in development for It was in development, I think, for 1 or 2 years at Disney. And now it's been in development for almost 3 years at Klasky Chupo, who are developing it for Nickelodeon. So... it's been in development forever, and still not particularly any closer to actually getting made. So we'll see what happens. They keep, you know, they haven't, so far they haven't let me write it. Klasky Chupa for some reason didn't want me to write it, but they've gone, you know, they had one writing team that worked on it, wasn't good enough, so they fired him. And they had another writing team that worked on it, just doesn't seem to quite get it, maybe, I don't know. I think finally, maybe, they might let me write it. I'm going to give them a call after I get off the phone with you.
your day of phone calls. Well, I'm going to throw in another Coachella track now. Is there any particular track off the new album?
What have you already played so far?
I played This Is How You Rock in America, and then off Our Most Beloved, I played Magic Finger.
Yep.
As a request from the music director here at the station. He's a fan of that one.
Well, let's see. Britney Silver Can is an amazing song. It's a little bit long.
That's okay. You guys okay with Britney Silver Can?
That's fine.
I'm curious by the name of the song. I want to hear it. So,
I imagine that the song is about. Well, it could be about any number of things. It could be about Britney Spears, or it could be about a Britney Spears fan. But Britney Spears, you know, did that Pepsi ad with the silver Pepsi can and wearing silver pants. So it's inspired by that commercial.
My Britney Silver Can.
Awesome.
Okay, we'll be back in a sec. CITR 101.9 FM. We have James Kolchalka on the line.
Justin Timberlake.
CITR 101.9 beautiful. FM. That was a sound like a tribute to
the
Justin
beautiful
Timberlake.
Sounds.
Thank you.
That's got to be like the most times anyone's had said Justin Timberlake in a song.
And we did many, many tracks, so we said it many, many, many times.
Just layers and layers, Justin.
Awesome.
So, anytime, any chance of touring on the West Coast?
We don't really tour. We're not that kind of band.
Oh, I noticed like you're doing basically like a weekend here, a weekend there.
We play pretty much exclusively in our hometown of Burlington, Vermont. Hmm. And we are finally going to tour just the tiniest little bit of just a mini tour and hit Boston, New York City, and Philadelphia.
Hmm. I saw you played SPX in 1998, I think it was.
Yeah, but that wasn't a tour. That was
1997.
That was just an individual show.
Oh.
It was for the...
We have played individual shows at different locations around the country. For instance, we're playing New Orleans tomorrow night at Tipitina's. And we played a show in Norman, Oklahoma one year because this guy who worked at a comic book store there wanted us to play at his birthday party, so he flew and the guitarist down. He didn't have enough money to fly the whole band down, so he had his friends learn all my songs, and they were the backup band.
Oh, awesome.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
And there's not anything to do in Norman, Oklahoma.
No.
We had a very interesting crowd of people, you know, of like people from, you know, like age like 10 to
100.
You know, yeah, 100.
Oh, but James Kochoka, he gets me dancing.
Yeah.
Don, you had some questions.
Oh, yeah, actually, I was going to ask about the, are you still teaching? You were teaching, I think, at one point, weren't you?
Yeah, I taught at a few painting classes at St. Michael's College here, and I've taught a little at the Center for Cartoon Studies last couple semesters. That's in White River Junction, Vermont, and I believe I'm teaching it this fall, although we haven't worked out the details of the schedule yet, even though it's only a few weeks away. I don't think I'm fired.
So what exactly do you teach?
Drawing comics, basically.
It's just a school to draw comics.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. It's a really good school. It was started by James Sturm, who drew the graphic novel Gollum's Mighty Swing.
Yep.
Tom Devlin, who ran Highwater Books, he does like a graphic design type class, silk screening class. The colorist for the Happy Tree Friends show, she teaches coloring.
Not really.
A poet named Peter Money who teaches poetry at the class. I mean, at the school.
Comic book poetry.
Yes. Well.
Beware the comic book poetry.
Well, the theory is that because comics are sort of a reductive and symbolic language, and so is poetry, that a poet would have something to say and teach to people that were working on comics.
Hmm.
We've had a lot of trouble with poets.
Yeah.
You know, at the small press events.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They get surly. Yeah. They get surly.
But the kids, the students are great, and they're... a few of the students made a proposal to Mirage Comics. Is that the people who do Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
Anyhow, a few of the students are
working on a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle book together.
So what's the average, what's the age sort of demographic of the students?
They're mostly in their 20s. Okay. It's most of the, there's probably 20, 25 students, new students each year. So we've only done it one year, so that a new crowd is coming in, though, in a couple of weeks. And it's a two-year school, so our student body is about to double. Most of the first class already had degrees of some kind.
Oh, really?
I think we only had one, maybe only had one kid that was fresh out of high school. And he wasn't quite fresh out of high school. I think he had taken like one semester of college and then dropped out or something like that.
To go into the wonderful world of comics.
Personal details.
For your own art, you're pretty active on the internet. I see on the Comics Journal message board a bunch. In the creation of your art, do you use your computer much? I know a lot of artists have become pretty entwined with their Photoshop.
Sure. Well, I still draw everything with a brush on an indie ink on Bristol paper, but I scan it into the computer and do all the coloring on the computer in Photoshop. And I've been doing some comics lately that are a combination of drawing and photography.
Oh, like the cover of the Superfuckers book?
Yeah, like that. Or like the comic that's inside the Spread Your Evil Wings and Fly CD.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you looked at the booklet.
Yeah, it's got your face on the cover.
Yes.
As part of the imagery.
It's a pretty brilliant cover, I think.
Yeah.
I do say so myself.
It's a little menacing.
It's a photo of my face, but inserted into a painting of a demon. It's a demon with my face, with the big hairy demon with horns, big pink wings, leaping in a hellfire.
Yeah. It's almost like a reply to Meatloaf's Bat Out of the
Hell. Yeah,
yeah. It's like a flying...
that kind of thing. Well, basically, my band was like, I had drawn something a little more, a little wimpier, and they said, look at Kiss album covers, and then try again.
So. Yeah, so you get this flying bat Wookie face thing.
Yeah.
They awesome. Wanted the rock. So for your music, what kind of influences do you draw? Like, I'm figuring Wesley Willis is some kind of influence.
Well, maybe a little. I don't listen to a lot of Wesley Willis, although he died the same night that my son was born.
Wow.
August 21st, 2003. My music is a lot like Queen and like They Might Be Giants. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't quite call them influences, simply because I've been doing it as long as they have.
They're
kindred spirits.
There we go.
Yeah.
Now, do you have some more questions there, Don?
Actually, I was going to... I totally forgot what I was going to say.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi. I was wondering how important spontaneity is in your work.
Well, I guess it's very important. Or at least I want it to read. I want the work to read smoothly and easily. And to be surprising enough. So I want it to at least feel spontaneous. I mean, obviously, it takes, it can take a year or several years even to draw a long book. So the day-to-day drudgery can sap the spontaneity if you don't encourage it.
Do you pencil your strips before you ink them, or do you just draw right in ink?
Okay. No, I always pencil.
Okay, well, I always wondered about that, because you really do a good job of keeping that spontaneity.
Amount of certain boldness to the inks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, strong lines. What kind of training do you have?
I have a master's degree in fine art painting, oil painting.
Hmm. Wow.
And were there any painters that ever that kind of inspired the way you use color or anything like that?
Color was really hard to figure out.
Uh-huh.
And it really wasn't until I started coloring every day that I, because I color the diary strip every day. It wasn't until I was doing that every day that I really got used to it and developed some kind of coloring style. Before that, it was a real struggle to figure out what colors to choose.
What kind of role does AmericanElf.com play for you as far as like attracting audiences or keeping people into what you're constantly doing? Because I notice you have a subscription service.
Yes, it's a great way. Having the website is a great way to be in contact with the readers, and especially with a strip like my diary. I think it's good for people to be able to read it as close, to when the events actually occurred. You know, so you like experience my life in real time. Whereas if I only published it in book collections, you wouldn't be able to get that feeling of watching my life unfold day by day.
I thought that the sketchbook diaries would be like a perfect format for that. Would be like one of those block calendars where you tear one off every day.
Sure.
I think that would just be awesome, because I noticed reading the book that a couple times I started to overload, because I'd go, I'm going to read a couple more and then I'm going to, get ready and go out or whatever. And then I ended up sitting there kind of zoning out and just continue. they kind of suck you into it,
Yeah, it does. It does suck you in. Mm-hmm. It's kind of strange in that any one particular strip doesn't seem like it's all that interesting. But the more you read, the better it gets.
Yeah, I totally agree.
It's an ongoing narrative of small entry points.
Actually, I was going to ask about the Hulk story you did, which we were talking about the other day, that we just love. We just thought it was awesome.
Thanks. The one for... I originally did in Cooper Skeever and then redid in color for Hulk Annual 2001.
Hulk versus Rain?
Yes, yeah. Hulk versus Rain.
Yeah.
I also did a Hulk Diary comic for one of the Wizard magazines, Wizard Edge or something like that.
Oh, really?
It's hard to keep up with everything you've done.
It's hard for me to remember everything. People sometimes ask for a complete bibliography. I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You've got to do that for the website.
Yeah.
Well, I noticed on the Top Shelf website, it's quite the list of stuff that are available from you.
Yeah. There's a lot of false information out there, too. Like the Wikipedia entry for me is full of factual errors. Mm-hmm. They got my birthday wrong. They got everything wrong. Sales figures all wrong.
Sales figures?
Yeah, they had some sales figures. I don't know. They just guessed.
How would they get those?
Yeah. I don't know sales figures for anything. I
have sold millions and millions of my comics. Batman, he is nothing.
Billions of comics sold.
Yeah.
I wonder how many comics I've sold all told. If you added up all my books, I don't know. It might not be so bad. I think Monkey vs. Robot is the best-selling book. Sold over 10,000 copies. But still, nothing is like a runaway hit or anything like that.
Are you actually going to be keeping your older stuff in print at all? Or are you...
It's difficult if they reprint a book and there's, only orders for like 200 copies. It might make more sense to let things fall out of print for a while until there's more of a demand, and then bring them back.
Well, I really like the Cute Manifesto book, the way it kind of compiles.
I don't
compiles.
Think that book is out of print.
Yeah. No, that one I picked up new at the comic store recently.
Yeah, but I know it's got some older stuff, I think, that's out of print in it, like the Sunburn, I'm assuming.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a good idea.
We're not going to keep Sunburn in print anymore because now it's in the Cute Manifesto.
So. Yeah.
I think there are books that are out of print, like Magic Boy and Girlfriend and Paradise Sucks. And I think Quit Your Job might be out of print.
I know Colin has one that has a CD in the back that I don't think I'd seen before.
Well, the Tiny Bubbles, isn't it?
Tiny Bubbles is out of print. Yeah, yep. Kissers is out of print.
Yeah,
although there's a Danish edition and a French edition that are in print.
You keep, I'm assuming you retain all the copyrights to your stuff. Okay, because you've worked with quite a few publishers over the years.
Yes. Some of them I don't even have contracts at all.
Oh, just faith and friends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes that works out all right. Sometimes it's hard getting paid.
Yeah, but I mean, sometimes it's hard to get paid even if you've got a...
Even if you've got a contract.
Yeah, even if you've got a contract.
That's true. There's really nothing you could do. Yeah. If anybody doesn't want to pay you, there's really nothing you can do.
Yeah, totally.
Now, what's the difference like working for, because you've done some stuff in the Bizarro anthologies for DC. What's it like working for there in comparisons to working for Top Shelf or High Water Alternative?
It's kind of the same, except that, you know, obviously when I'm doing something for DC, I can't really do my own stuff quite the way I'd really like it, because I have to do their characters or whatever, you know? So,
when you're doing the Bizarro work, were you given pretty much free rein to do what you wanted within a certain parameter?
Yes, except they made one editorial change in my Hawkman story. When Hawkman catches the bad guy in the spaceship, he originally was going to kick him in the face and yell, "Respect the Hawk." And they said Hawkman would never say that.
Are you kidding me?
And I was like, "What?" I thought that was the whole point of the Bizarro thing. They're not doing things that they would normally do.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I changed it, and I decided I would change it to the lamest thing that I could think of, which was gotcha.
I have appertained you, evildoer.
Yeah. Wow.
You don't normally have a lot of editorial interference, do you, in your work?
No. In the past, Top Shelf would offer some editorial guidance or whatever. But I decided I don't need it, and so I don't let them see the books until they're finished anymore.
Here you go.
I used to show them as they went along. You know, some of my publishers, they don't even read the books until they're published. Like everything that was everything that's been published by, not everything, but much of what's been published by Alternative Comics, Jeff wouldn't read the books until after they were printed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he wanted to be surprised.
Was he surprised by spelling errors?
Yeah, by typos or anything?
So that's good. That's a level of trust, right?
Yeah.
For a publisher that they're sure they're going to like what I'm going to do.
So do you have like a proofreader or something just for that sort of
I
stuff?
I have, but errors have slipped in.
Oh, okay.
There's an amazing error in the first issue of Super Effers, where one of the characters' name is different at the end of the book than it was when he's first introduced.
Well, you know what though? That's in good company, because in the first issue of Spider-Man, there's actually a line where Stan Lee refers to him as Peter Palmer, and then it goes back to Parker by the end of the book. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So I have a solution, you know, a reason why he's got the wrong name at the end of the book. But I just haven't drawn it into any issue yet. Yeah. I don't know if I ever will. But rest assured,
it could start up a whole new...
Rest assured, there is a reason.
So that's Wilbur that becomes Kevin?
Yeah.
Look at Colin, on the ball.
Computer Fist.
Computer Fist, yes.
Did you actually notice when you read it?
No, I just looked it up just now.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, because no one notices.
Yeah.
No one.
I didn't notice when I read it last night.
Even the proofreader didn't know. I had a professional proofreader do that one, and he didn't notice.
Awesome.
He was enjoying the story.
You know, he found all my punctuation errors.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they care about.
Like, show me a punctuation error, and I'd be like, who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't put a period at the end of a sentence.
I always thought correct spelling was overrated.
Yeah.
Well, I do like correct spelling for the most part. But things like putting a period at the end of a sentence is not so necessary in a word balloon, because the sentence is going to end at the end of the word balloon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? In a paragraph with a whole bunch of sentences, it would be a problem if there's no period.
Do you do your lettering on the computer, or do you do that by hand, too?
No, I do it by hand.
Do you do it with a brush? Or?
Yeah, with a brush.
Oh, really?
Yep.
What kind?
You mean the brand?
What's the caliber size? Yeah,
size 0.
Wow.
I do all my drawing with the size 0 brush.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Doesn't hold much ink, does it?
No. So, actually, I've started to switch to let's see, the new issue of Super Effers, I am drawing with a size 1.
Oh.
I have no idea what any of this means.
Yeah.
Well, I draw with a size 3.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's more common. I draw smaller than is normal, though.
Oh?
Yeah, I draw close to actual size.
Oh, really?
Like a typical panel in one of my books is 3 by 3 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And the diary strips are smaller. They're like 2 by 2 inches. And
wow.
So those. And Super Effers is smaller too. A typical square panel in Super Effers is 2.5 by 2.5 inches.
Robin's getting bored with all this cartoonist talk.
No, I'm not.
So you almost do them near.
But rest assured that my penis is much larger.
Ho!
That had to come up. It had to come up sometime during the topic.
Oh yeah, well Paul Chadwick inks with a number 4.
he's more of a man than any of us.
Mr. Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, Miller.
Frank Miller. He was telling me that he draws now with a big, I don't know, like really big brush, and he likes to draw standing up at an easel. He doesn't even draw flat on a drawing board anymore.
No, he uses house paint.
Actually, that's what his whole arm
and swing it around.
That's almost what Hemingway used to do. He used to write standing up. He'd write longhand.
Oh, yeah.
And standing at like this little dais thing that he had made because he had a bad back or something in his.
Oh, you know Linda Barry, the cartoonist.
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Well, she's a novelist too, and she writes her novels in longhand with a brush and India ink.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. I read an interview where she said she got a, you know, like a laptop or whatever, and tried to type her novel. Couldn't think of anything. Then she got out her brush and her ink, and she wrote the whole thing, no problem.
Wow.
Bukowski was the opposite. When he got a computer, he was like a kid in a candy store. He just like kept pumping out more and more poetry. Like, I can't stop. Now I can actually type without, you know, smashing all the keys together.
Well, actually, Allen Ginsberg had a theory that like the type of the size of the paper that you write on or what you're using affects your thought process because you stop at the end of each line, and if the line's shorter, it changes what you're thinking.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, well, so that does have an effect eventually.
Well, if you're doing like concrete poetry,
yeah. Or if you're doing any type of writing, it might. You know.
Yeah, it's too hard to like listen to music and write at the same time. I think.
Oh, I can't.
Impossible. Yeah. But it's easy to. It's good to listen to music while you ink.
It takes a long
time, and you don't really have to think. Mm-hmm. You just, I mean, well, you might think, but the kind of thinking you're doing doesn't need to be super conscious.
Yeah.
It's more intuitive.
I got to get some of them learn to speak Spanish tapes or something and learn a language while I'm inking.
If you're going to be doing some more.
So, how many of the people am I talking to are cartoonists? I know Colin is.
I am. I am too.
Okay. What's your name again?
Don King, yeah.
He has some stuff up on the Top Shelf website.
Yeah.
So, okay. Actually, that's a good segue. If you want to check out any work by Mr. Kolchelka here, you can order stuff through your comic store or go to topshelf.com where they have probably, what, 15 titles?
I think it's Top Shelf
Comics. Oh, yeah. Comics.
With an X.
Yeah.
Comics. I believe they have multiple spellings of Top Shelf Comics.
Mm-hmm.
So if you type in, I usually use the X version, but I think that they now have the other one too. Anyhow, topshelfcomics.com.
And what was your website for the American Elf?
AmericanElf.com.
Awesome.
.com.
Now, if you want, we can talk about, you know, the system that I have. I take subscribers. You can always read the most recent strip for free.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to read the archive, the past strips, you can only do that if you're a subscriber. It costs $1.95 a month. Mm-hmm. And
how far back does your archive go?
Goes back to whenever I started doing it on the web, which was maybe 2002 or something like that.
You do publish them as collections, don't you?
Yes. There's a book collection called American Elf, and there's a second book collection. The first book collection collects the first 5 years of the strip, from October 1998 to uh, to the end of 2003.
Okay. That sounds about
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the new collection's going to be a little bit slimmer and just collect 2004 and 2005.
Hmm. I have a quick question. I noticed you're on the Comics Journal message board a fair amount. Is it just me or is everyone there really snotty?
Oh, they're snotty, yeah.
Yeah.
It's disgust. I'm disgusted with it. Like, I don't post anything really there. Occasionally I'll do something for the show, but it's just I don't want to get involved
yeah,
with...
Yeah, they have a history of being kind of snotty at times.
It's probably like five people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why I even waste any time there, but...
It scares me
I often get, you know... It started when people would, like, be writing something about how much I suck. It just couldn't resist joining in and arguing that no, I don't suck.
Yeah. Well, good on you.
I really should just, you know, like, ignore it.
The thing that scares me is when I see the flames. They have the little flaming symbol.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you look at the title and it's for like the most innocuous thing, so it's topic, but there'll still be flames about it. Somebody found something mean to say.
Oh no, the flames.
Flames
just mean
it's popular.
The flames just mean that it's popular. That a lot of people are posting there.
It's on fire.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know this language.
It doesn't mean they're burning crosses or anything.
Comic crosses made yeah. of young bloods. We're wrapping things up here. It's getting close to the end of our hour. What song would you like us to end off with when we leave the show?
I think the single that Ryko is promoting for the new album is Wash Your Ass.
Wash Your Ass. Nice.
That's a great title.
I'm going to shoot a video to that next week. Hopefully nice. the video will be out in time for the release of the album, September 12th.
Who's doing the video?
Well, we're going to shoot some footage here in Vermont and then send it off to my friend Pistol in San Francisco, and he's going to finish it up.
Hmm.
I've never made a video with Pistol before, but I made some web cartoons with him a long time ago. He used to be in my band here in Burlington and moved away to, you know, make his fortune in the big city.
The big money in the big city. Yeah, the song Wash Your Ass reminds me of a band I'm connected with, which has a song called Douche Your Ass.
Oh. Sounds a little gross.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's
my songs now, you know, I write about a lot of gross things, I guess, you know, whatever.
But little happy tongue in cheek.
But I don't do it in such an obnoxious way.
Well, you do it in a cute way.
Yeah.
Do it in a cute way, that's right.
Everything is cute. Well, thank you very much for coming on, James. I'll let you know once we have this up and posted for listener downloading.
Sure. And it was live on the radio too, right?
Yeah, yep. This was live. People are listening right now and
yeah. Thousands.
Thousands and thousands. There's a lot of people that do listen to
it. I can't imagine what they might think.
Yeah.
I
just ramble on about brush size for 5 minutes.
I think that's what it went down to, tens. I'm just
But
kidding.
Those 10 people were just completely enwrapped.
Zero.
Brush size?
Yeah.
Brushes come in different sizes?
Yeah.
Oh, Colin has something. He's waving his finger in the air like he doesn't care.
Oh, I just wanted a public service.
How many hit points does your brush have, Colin?
Hit points?
I use a 20-sided dice.
1d10. Oh. Oh my God, D&D.
I use +2 crystal paper.
and a magic number 1.
Yeah. Colin, your question.
Oh no, it wasn't a question. I just wanted a public service announcement for any cartoonists who are listening. The folks here at CITR were interested in getting a comic strip on their new website.
Oh really?
Yes.
No one tells me anything.
Well, I was just talking about this with a couple of the gals.
Okay.
And if you're interested, contact the people at CITR.
And we should also...
Why don't we let James go?
Okay, well...
I'm ready to go.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks
a lot.
You were wonderful, beautiful. I'm done.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, that's something we usually do after the interview ends. Yeah,
interesting. Well, I thought you were going directly into a song.
Yeah,
no. No, I usually say that was James Kochalka. Yeah, here we are bittering, arguing among ourselves. We're going to slap each other now.
Are we on the air?
We're still on the air.
Oh, we're still on the air. I was ready to go home. No,
go
I was
going
to say, Saturday night, the Cinema Sewer magazine launch
yep.
is at RX Comics on Main and 8th. And
followed by?
Followed by the monthly comic book jam. If you like cartooning or comic book making, come out to the jam. It's going to be at the Jolly Alderman on Canby and
12th.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
After
I'll be
about
there.
8 o'clock.
I'm not going to be able, I'm not gonna be able to get crunk and drunk, but I want to. I got to work the next day at 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll be there. You can come buy me beer, and then I'll.
You can watch Don get drunk.
Yeah, I'm hard. A fun drunk. It's fun Don.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. That's horrible. It's all either
the horrible
awesome
truth
or horrible.
About Don. Okay.
Okay. CITR 101.9 FM. That was James Kolchelka. We're yakking with, talking about a comic. Comics. Check it out, www.americanelf.com, www.topshelfcomics.com, and don't forget Inkstuds, www.crowncommission.com/inkstuds, and check us out. And
we have this stuff on a bunch of these shows also on the podcast too, right?
That's what I mean for the website.
Oh, okay.
yeah download and listen and rock and roll. We're gonna end off with Wash Your Ass.
Do it now.
You've got to talk to the wiki, talk to the wiki, talk to the wiki, talk to her. You've got to talk to the wiki, talk to the wiki, talk to the wiki, talk to her. Forget her.